Blog Talk Radio.
I might have to go and see it out because I think it's signature to put it together. Because it's going to be.
Hello? Apostle? Yeah.
It's not coming out the room.
You want us to go out and come back in?
You're telling me I'm sorry we have technical issues. Y'all go out if you can't come in.
Okay. All right. We'll both go out. All right.
Okay.
Do we hang out?
Do you want us to try to come back in?
And do you want me to hang up?
Yeah. Okay.
God, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We have to make some changes. We're going to give Evangelist Janice Taylor and her guest, Sister Elke, the opportunity to bring forth the Word of God. Normally, with my audience for the past 15 years, we do it on Fridays, and I forgot, and I made a commitment to my sister, so we'll do it tomorrow. But here, let me say before I turn this over, it ain't about no Easter bunny rabbits with me. It ain't about no Easter egg or SARS. It ain't got nothing to do with no Easter. Jesus is the resurrection. The Bible says in Matthew 12:40, 3 days and three nights was in the heart of the earth. If you look at the Jewish calendar, he had to come out and resurrect before Saturday. It's the Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. And I tell you, the devil tried to really play on people with that. Tomorrow, the next day, and every day to me is the resurrection of Jesus. Greater than he that lives in me than he that in the world. I really don't like the world to tell me when to worship the Lord and what day to celebrate him. Christmas to me is every day because Christ lives in me. All right, I'm going to turn this over to these two powerful sisters. Let them do their thing, and we'll see you guys tomorrow, Shabbat, at 2 o'clock. Evangelist Janet Taylor, you now have the mic. 1 hour and 44 minutes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor coming to you live from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry. We are excited to be with you on tonight. Glory be to God. Elkie and I, my deliverance partner, Minister Elkie Brabble, we're together and we're going to do, we're going to talk about resurrection power. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, you know, when we get started, our first scripture comes from Philippians 3 and 10, and it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Glory be to God. That's Philippians 3 and 10. Hallelujah. And what the Apostle Paul was saying, it was a prayer, and he was actually praying that he would come to know the Lord in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. So we have to know, well, what was Paul talking about, knowing the Lord in the power of his resurrection? Well, in Matthew 28 and verse 18, it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So when Jesus rose, when he was resurrected from the grave, he got up with all power in heaven and in earth. And he gave that power to the church on the day of Pentecost. He sent the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God tells us in Acts chapter 1, he says, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, ye shall have power. You shall be witnesses unto me after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So we don't get the power until the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Glory be to God. And the Bible says we will be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Glory be to God. So what is this resurrection power that we are talking about tonight? We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms us into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 declares, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So resurrection power is the power to do what the Bible says. The old things are passed away and the old things become new. That means we don't operate under this world system. We operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now the scripture tells us specifically what we should be able to do, what we have been empowered to do. Elkie, come in and share that. What does the scripture say that believers are empowered to do?
We are empowered to raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And that resurrection power has been given to us through Christ Jesus. And according to Ephesians, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So when Jesus Christ gave all of that authority, when he got that authority from dying on the cross, he transferred that authority to us as well. And so, you know, Janet, I was just thinking about this in depth. If he's given us resurrection power, then, you know, if he didn't give that to us, he wouldn't say, raise the dead. Like,
amen.
Ooh, if we were trying to raise somebody that we knew was had died already, we would look crazy to think that we could actually raise the dead, that we, through the power of Jesus Christ, I mean, if he hadn't given it to us, he wouldn't have given us that charge. But isn't it amazing that he said that right along with anything else? He said, cast out demons. There goes your authority and power. He says you'll trample upon snakes and scorpions, and nothing by any means shall harm you. And before that, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He said, and I'm telling you, I've given you the keys of the kingdom of God. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be bound in heaven. So he's given us this authority. But, Janet, why don't people operate in this? Why? Why don't people operate in what God has given them? You know, I like to say it like this, and this is a great analogy for me. Let's say that, have you ever gone into your closet and you put on an outfit you probably haven't worn in maybe 3 years? Maybe you just lost weight and had a stomach virus and you are ready to try that outfit on again because you know there's a good chance you might fit in it, right? And all of a sudden, you put these pants on or either this jacket, and you go to put your hands in the pocket, and you realize there is some money in it. And you pull that money out to your surprise, and let's say it's a $100 bill. Now, if that don't make your day, I don't know what does. Wouldn't that make you excited?
It does.
Look, I get excited if I found a dollar or a five, but a $100 bill. So the thing is, this has belonged to you for the past 3 years, but you couldn't use it because you didn't know that you had it there. It was yours all along and your right, but because you didn't know it was there, that $100 bill lay dormant until you put it to work, correct?
Amen.
So that is the same way when we don't understand what belongs to us. Jesus died so that all of this would belong to us, and resurrection power is part of it. We
now,
don't
he
know.
Told his... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No,
he
if
told
we don't
his
know
disciples...
this, then...
Go ahead, Elfie.
He, you know, if we don't know what belongs to us, we can't operate in it. But Christ said we should operate in resurrection power.
Amen. Now, he told his disciples in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. So the words, the Greek words, the first one is exousia, okay? So he's given us exousia, which is authority. Then he's given us dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite from. So not only do we have the power, we have the authority. We as believers have the authority. Jesus said in John chapter 15, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, it shall be done. So we have the authority to cast out devils. We have authority to lay hands on the sick. We have authority over demonic spirits. We have authority, but we also have the power. He didn't just give us the authority without the power. He gave us the power with the authority. And when I think about this, Elkie, I think of a police officer who has been vested with power and authority, because anybody just say you're under arrest. You know, what has to happen is that individual has to have both power and authority. So his authority is vested in him by the state. that he lives in. He cannot go to another state and put somebody under arrest. He only has authority in that state. All right? Then if that individual does not comply when he says you're under arrest, halt in the name of the law. If that individual does not comply, then he pulls out his power, which may be his gun or his nightstick. But either way, he has both authority and power. So we believers have both authority and power. Now, I want to read from Mark chapter 16 what Jesus said. Hallelujah. Before he ascended, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's the first thing he told us to do is go. Go, and then he said, preach. Glory be to God. And he told us what to preach. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. So he's given us authority and power to cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. He has given us authority and power to speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So he's given us authority to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I want to take a little sidebar right here about this take up serpents, because the church, some of the churches got in error concerning taking up serpents. And in Luke 10, 19, it says power over serpents and scorpions. Some of the churches, a lot of them in Virginia and West Virginia, actually went out and began to bring a venomous snake into the church, brought in rattlers and diamondbacks and all kind of foolishness. And they brought these snakes into the church, and then they tested the people by saying, if you have the faith, if this snake bites you, you won't die. This is not what the scriptures is talking about. What
That's
the
right.
scriptures is talking about when it says, and take up serpents, it's talking about danger. It's talking about things that actually put us in danger. And the Bible says that it won't hurt us. So it's not talking about going out, getting a poisonous rattlesnake, bringing it in the church, and testing the people with it. Jesus never told us to do such foolish things. Let me tell
That's
you
right.
something. The rattlesnake, there are some principles here. The snake is the snake, so he's going to bite you. And the other thing is he's full of deadly poison. Now, we know the story about Apostle Paul, how a viper got on him when he was shipwrecked on this island, and he shook it off into the fire, and he did not die. There was a purpose for that. The purpose was so that Paul could get to where God wanted him. He had to appear before Agrippa. He had to appear.
Yes.
So God did not let the shipwreck kill him. God did not let the beatings kill him, and he didn't let that snake bite kill him. But nowhere in Scripture are we told to test the Lord or to test our faith with deadly and poisonous rattlesnakes. So I want to clear that up, because a lot of people fell into that era, and they're no longer with us. And so God didn't call us to do that. What he's talking about is that we have power and authority to go and preach the gospel. And these are the signs that will follow them that believe. Now, I'm like you, Elkie. My question again is, why isn't the church doing this? Why isn't the church laying hands on the sick? Why isn't the church casting out devils? Why isn't the church doing what Jesus told the disciples to do before he ascended on high? Why isn't the church walking in this?
I'm gonna tell
and
you
the
one
reason
thing.
Is simple. Mm-hmm. The reason is very simple. It's found in the 16th verse. He that believeth. So
Ooh.
People that they're not believing. They're not believing the word of God. And let me tell you something. People will say, oh, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't tell lies. I pay my taxes. I do all of that. Let me tell you something. Unbelief is the number one sin amongst people today. It's unbelief. Jesus said he could
Absolutely.
Not do many miracles, even in his hometown in Jerusalem, because of their unbelief. Go ahead, Elkie.
You put the words right out of my mouth, because I was going to tell you that where you were just talking about in Mark chapter 16, these things are for us who believe. That is key. In other words, God says, I've got all of this for you to do in my name that I freely gave to you. He said, I freely give, so therefore you freely give. You've received it for free. Give it for free. Freely give it. Don't hold anything back from anybody, because I have it. And we're talking about resurrection power. We're talking about power over scorpions, snakes, demon spirits, power over death. And so we find this again in Ephesians chapter 1. And I just, if I could, Janet, I would like to read a few scriptures and break this down. Can I
go
do
ahead?
That?
Yes,
okay.
You certainly can.
In Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 16, Paul here is saying, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, him and revelation, so that you may know him better. So here we have, right here, Paul is saying, I'm praying that God gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelation just so you'll know him better.
Yes.
And then it's not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge as well. You know, we'll say stuff with our head like, yeah, I believe. But it's got to drop from your head to your heart. You know,
read verse 19.
Issue. Yes, ma'am.
Read
and
verse
so it says,
19.
I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power, here we go, for us who believe.
Yes.
We have incomparably great power for who? The ones who believe. You have to believe. You have to believe that that's been given to you. Okay? Paul here was praying that we would realize the hope that we have because of the rich, glorious inheritance that we get by being God's children. I mean, let's just stop right now and just praise God that he has made
Amen.
Us children partakers of his glorious inheritance. I don't know about you, Janet, but I'll take all of that I can get. Amen.
Amen.
If he never does another thing for me, which it would be enough, his sacrifice on the cross, it would be enough.
Amen.
But he says that he wants, Paul's saying, I want you to understand that there's hope because you have a glorious, rich inheritance just by being God's child. And then he says, but not just this glorious inheritance, but also his incomparably great power for us who believe. So if you don't believe you have this power, if you don't believe that $100 bill that you just found in your pocket belongs to you, you're not going to be able to use it. Amen. So now,
Amen.
It's not just that, but it says that power, what power? Is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. So that power that we get is equal to the ones who believe. It's equal to the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead. That, my friends, is resurrection power that has been delegated authority, been given to us. The same resurrection power that he used to raise Christ from the dead has been given to us. And then it says that Jesus sat him on his right hand side in the heavenly realms over all rule, over all authority, over all power, all dominion, and all names, not just for the present time that we're in, but for the future. Glory be to God. So
Amen.
We are partakers of this resurrection power. And so when we go and pray for somebody, Janet, that's on their deathbed, we got to realize that we believe. If we don't believe,
yeah,
we
go
wouldn't be going in that hospital room and everybody says
so
about the guy. And we go in there with confidence and say, I know in whom I have believed, and I am fully persuaded that he will perform that which I've committed unto him to that day. I know my God reigns, and I know his incomparably great power, and it's working in me, and I have authority because Jesus Christ died so I could have it. And in the name of Jesus, I'm going to lay hands on the sick and I to recover. Hallelujah. I
Amen.
I serve a mighty God who never sleeps and slumbers, and he's watching over his word to perform it. Praise the name of the Lord. And I doubt not in my heart, because the Bible says in the book of James that he who doubts is like a wave being tossed to and fro. He cannot expect to seek anything from the Lord because he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And I refuse, I repeat, I refuse to be a double-minded person. I'm a believer.
Amen. And the power be of God and not of us. The power is of God. Glory be
Absolutely.
To God. You know, this power is to change us and to transform us, Elkie, because we are no good unless God takes charge and we come under this new management. Now, let me tell you something. When I was in sin, I was under the management of the spirit of the devil. But now that I'm saved and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm under new management. Glory be to God. And I'm going to tell you something. This is like this power. Have you ever moved to a new place and, you know, you have to get the lights turned on, you have to get the water turned on, you got to get all these things turned on before you move to your new place. And you're sitting in there in your new house and you know, you called the electric company and you told them what day you were moving in and you told them to turn the power on, but you're sitting in there in the dark. You're sitting in there in the dark. You got light bulbs. You already put those in and you're just sitting in there in the dark. You're sitting in the dark. Nothing's going to happen until you get up and flip the switch. You've got to turn the power on. We have the power, Elkie. The church was given power on the day of Pentecost, but a lot of people have not flipped the switch. They have not turned the power on because of their unbelief. Glory be to God. And so we're no good unless we turn the power on through belief. Glory be to God. Now, the power
Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit, it creates a new man and new women. In other words, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So you're not the same Elkie that you used to be. I'm not the same Jan that I used to be. Everything becomes new. I get a new heart. I get a new mind. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit
Thank you,
does spiritual
Thank you,
surgery on me, and it takes
Absolutely.
Out that old stony heart and gives me a heart of flesh. Now, when the church gets it, Elkie, the church will be filled with resurrection power. And then there's
Praise
going
God.
To be a tremendous shaking. Glory be to God. The Holy Spirit is going to shake out and shake off everything that can be shaken so that only
That's right.
that which cannot be shaken will remain. Glory be to God. So out with the old man and in with the new. God gave us resurrection power so that
yes,
we can do the work that he sent us here to do. He created us with a purpose. We're not just here blinding, walking through this time in our life. We're here on purpose. We have an assignment, but we cannot do the assignment without resurrection power. And the scripture tells us, he said, the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Glory be to God. So we got the power. We just got to believe that we got the power. And then when you have faith, faith requires action. Glory be to God.
Amen.
You got to act on it. I remember reading a story about Smith Wigglesworth, and I mean this thing blew my mind. Smith Wigglesworth was truly a man of power. He walked in the power, but he had faith to believe God for the impossible. There was a man, he stayed at his house, and the man didn't have no feet. He had, well, he had them, but they were ill-formed, and they didn't have any strength. Smith Wigglesworth told the man to go buy a pair of shoes. So the first day, the man didn't go get the shoes. And then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to the man and told the man, obey my servant. The man got up the next day and went and got the shoes. So when he got to the shoe store, when the clerk saw that he didn't have any feet, he said, I'm sorry, we can't do anything for you. And he said, because he didn't know what size to give him. So finally, he told him, look, I got to have these shoes. And so the shoe clerk went and got him a pair of black shoes, size 8, and gave them to the man. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he gave them to the man. Anyway, the man took the shoes back to his house, and Smith Wigglesworth came, and he prayed for the man. See, the confidence that he had in his God was that God would create some feet for the man. He would do a creative miracle, and the man would walk. So he went and got the shoes before it ever took place. Faith without works is dead. And this
yes.
is what people will say, oh, I believe God. Oh, I believe God's going to heal. Oh, I believe God's going to do this. Well, but where's the action to back that up? You haven't done anything. You know, my shoulder was hurting me the other day, Elkie. And
yes.
I kept saying, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I began to move that shoulder. When I wanted to go into the women's prison with a group of ladies coming up this Monday, I was told about it. I applied for it. And they said, you know, my application had to be processed. They had to do a background check on me. I did not just sit there twiddling my thumbs. You know what I did, Elkie? First of all, I began to say, I'm going into that women's prison. I already claimed
yep.
that. I had confidence in God. And then the second thing was I did, I sat down and God gave me the message to take into that
Praise
women's prison.
God.
I wrote
God.
The message down. In other words, my faith had to have some action. Glory be to God. Come on in, Elkie, and comment on that.
Yes. Now, let me tell you this, and you are preaching to the choir tonight, because I want to get back to that $100 bill one more time. That $100
okay.
bill. Now, I've got a choice. I can put that $100 bill back in that coat or hide it and say, well, I'll keep that for a rainy day, or I can take that $100 bill and I can put it to work right away. And I'm going to tell
All
you
right.
something. I'm going to put it to work right away. It's either going to make more money for me, or I'm going to go to Dairy Queen, or we're going to have a good time that day. Baby's going to get a new pair of shoes, honey. A new
okay.
pair of shoes. We're going to do something with that $100 because I found it, didn't know I had it, and now I can use it. And I'm going to put it to good work. Amen. So it's like
Amen.
Delegated authority. So we have got to walk in, like you said, resurrection power. And, you know, when you think about this, there's another aspect to that. Feeling terrible, and we're too, you know, we start drawing from the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and we start speaking it. We take that authority, that same authority. If God's given us authority to raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and heal the sick, We've got to have that same authority rising up within us and say, oh, no, 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 no. I bind sickness in the name of Jesus. Resurrection power is in me for us who believe, and I believe, and I'm getting up off this bed, and I'm going to make it through the day, and I'm going to get better right now. I speak it right now. I thank God. I'm not going to lay here another minute that God is healing my body as I speak, because resurrection
Amen.
Power is in me. Take authority over everything. That resurrection power is for us who simply take God at his word and believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is good to me. That is good to me.
Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And he said, you got to be born of the water and of the spirit. So we must receive resurrection power if we are going to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. You cannot talk about something that you have not experienced. Now, there's plenty of people doing it.
Can I share?
They're getting up all the time talking about stuff that they haven't experienced. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you something. When you've walked through something and God has brought you through it and raised you up, when the devil tried to kill you and you didn't die, God raised you up. He raised you up with resurrection power.
Yes,
and when
he
you
did.
Begin to tell that, you can tell it with confidence, and people will, it's a compelling story. In other words, we don't want people and say, well, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, what has the Lord done? Or what have you done in the name of Jesus that you couldn't do before? Come on, we've got to have this compelling story. You know, when you witness an accident, Elkie, and the police officer comes to the scene of the accident, he wants to know who saw this accident, because he's going, you know, there's a large crowd gathered around. He's going to get rid of the crowd. He only wants to talk to the people who witnessed the accident. Everybody else, they're just spectators or they just heard. So he talks to them, and he starts weeding them out. He said, did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see it? So he finds them two or three witnesses so that he can get the facts. But if you are not a witness, you can say, well, I heard it. I heard the crash. Well, you're no good, because I can't go by what you heard. You were in your house. You didn't see it. I'm looking for somebody who saw it, who knows exactly what happened. So we can be credible witnesses unto the Lord when we have resurrection power. What do I mean by that? You can tell what the Lord did for you. Yeah, you can
That's
tell
right.
how the power, glory be to God, of the Holy Ghost transformed your life, changed you, and how he made you a new creature. And let me tell you something. There are attorneys that will try to discredit a witness on the stand. They try to tear your testimony down. But when you know that you know that you know that you know, I don't care what kind of trickery they try to use, you say, ma'am, all I can tell you is, I saw what happened. I can tell you what he did for me. Glory be to God. So we need resurrection power even to be witnesses unto the Lord. Because he said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea. That's your local town. Then he says in Samaria. That might be your region or your state. And then he said all the way to the uttermost parts of the world. That's worldwide, glory be to God. You can tell this story worldwide. It's going to stay the same. It's not going to change. Why? Because you were an eyewitness to what the power of the Holy Spirit has done in your life. And that's the problem. People are not testifying about the power of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, they're not even testifying anymore in the churches. They've taken testimony service out because there's no testimony unless you're going to talk about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God.
Amen. I want to tell you about, if it's okay, about a situation that happened to me. So I was a hair salon owner for 34 and a half years. And I don't know if this has been about maybe 15 years ago. I was cutting hair, and two chairs down from me, another stylist was cutting this man's hair. And all of a sudden, she says, Elkie, and she hollers my name. And I look up, and her customer, he was passed out, head over to the side, had passed out in her chair. He did not know what to do. He didn't appear to be breathing, and he was gray. There was no color in it. See where he was breathing. I immediately started praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, that takes a lot of boldness, but I went into prayer mode because it looks like this man is dying, you know? I started praying out loud in front of a salon full of people who do not believe, okay? They do not believe. We're talking about this power is for us who believe. But I'm praying in the Spirit amongst people who do not believe in resurrection power. And I put my hands on that man, left my customer in the chair, and I began to pray in the Holy Spirit because I didn't know what to do. And after I prayed in the Holy Spirit, I commanded him to wake up. I command him. I said, in the name of Jesus, you come back. You come back in the name of Jesus. You come back. Be healed. Come back in the name of Jesus. And I want you to know, within just a few seconds after I commanded that, that guy, he jumps up. He lifts his head up, and he goes, like that, like breath had come back in his body. And then he looks like he is going to throw up. And this is the human side of me. I thought, please don't throw up. Please don't throw up. Please don't throw up. Because I'm thinking, I'm going to have to clean this throw up. There I was commanding his body not to die, you know. And it's like, well, we can't throw up, you know. And I thought, oh, but I was like, please don't throw up. Please don't throw up. But I was so glad. And he got his breath back in his body. His coloring started to change to look more flesh-like. And I'm telling you what, that was in front of everybody. Everybody. I commanded him to come too. And he did.
That's resurrection power.
Yes. And it's for us to believe. Because if she'd have said that to a non-believing, just you can be a Christian and not believe in resurrection power. You know, but
Amen.
It's for us who believe, who want to operate in that. That is exactly where I went to, because I know the God I serve is able to raise the dead. And I know that he's put the authority in us to do that. That's why I went over there and did that. And the other Christian people in there, they were like, I had never seen that before. And I was just like, that is our God when we call on that God, our God. So anyway, there's more to this story.
Okay.
I asked this guy, I said, we called the ambulance. And he said, I won't be needing an ambulance. I said, oh, yes, you need an ambulance. We've called. He said, no, I'm fine. I've just been stressed out. I thought, oh, well, they say stress can kill you, but you weren't breathing, you know. So anyway, the ambulance got there, and he refused it. Well, I went home and had such a burden, Janet. I had such a burden for this man because I knew that he was not saved. I had such a burden, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? He has got to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I felt like he wasn't going to live much longer. And come to find out, he was a severe alcoholic, and he had been like a tennis pro in his life. He was like, he played in the professional ranks. So anyway, he didn't know the Lord. I went home, and I wrote a letter to him, and I told him that, you know, I hoped that he would receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I said, it's because of me calling on my God on your behalf is why you came back. And I just wanted you to introduce you to my Savior. And if you don't know him, his name is Jesus. I'd be glad to pray for you. I dropped that letter off to that man because he owned a restaurant down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know, he never responded to that letter, ever. Never, ever responded. And one of my friends said, Elkie, that man was talking about you the other night at a party. I said, he was. And she said, yeah. I said, well, it wasn't good. He was mocking you. And I said, she said, do you want to know what he said? And I said, no, I don't want to know what he said. She said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. I said, because if God tells me to go pray for him and reach out to him again, I need to be obedient. So, no, I don't need to know what he said. You know what I'm saying, Janet?
Yes.
I didn't need to know anything negative. all I did was obedience. And I thought, whatever she's going to say to me is going to make me feel bad. And all that matters is what God tells me to do.
That's
I'm
right.
not worried about man. I'm not worried about fear of man. You can mock me if you want to. I know that your behind part is alive because somebody cared enough to pray and tried to lead your crazy behind to the Lord. You know?
Uh-huh.
And if you mock that, you will stand before an almighty God and give an account for why he was gracious to you and you decided to mock Jesus. And that's on him. Pray that he did give his heart to God, that he was a severe alcoholic. But if God tells me to do that again, I'll do it again. Because I'm going to be obedient to God.
Amen.
I'm going to be obedient.
You know, Elkie, there's a lot of mockery concerning the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people. When I moved into my new home, and I got a welcome letter from a church in the community. And I thought it was so nice. And I put it on my kitchen counter. And about a month later, I was cleaning off that kitchen counter. And there was that letter. It was like a brochure. And they said, you know, welcome to the neighborhood and this, that, and the other. And they invited me to that church. And I just thought it was just the nicest thing that could be done. And then one day, that brochure fell off my kitchen counter, and it flipped over. So when I picked it up, I looked on the backside of it, and they were telling me, we do not believe in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And I looked at it, and I said, well, they don't have to worry about me coming to their church. I thought it was nice that they welcomed me to the neighborhood, but I guess they wanted me to know, don't come here if you believe in speaking in tongues and if you believe in the gifts. They said, we don't believe in that. And I was like, wow. I mean, I had never received such a thing in my life where a church would say they didn't believe in that. So what that showed me was that there's a lot of mockery. There's a lot of mockery concerning the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's for two reasons. One is out of fear. People are afraid of Holy Spirit. They're afraid that Holy Spirit's going to embarrass them or Holy Spirit's going to make them, you know, do crazy things. Holy Spirit does not make us do crazy things. Glory be to God. It's the devil that makes you do crazy things. And the second reason is that unbelief. People don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you something. It's just like that man you just got through talking about, Elkie. I don't know where that man is right now in life, but I'm telling you the day is coming where it's going to come back to him about that day in that in your beauty salon when he left here. He left here because you heard the breath when it came back in his body. But I'm going to tell you something. That he's going to be reminded of that day and of the second chance that he was given and how he mocked the Holy Spirit. He was not mocking you. He was mocking Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something that is very, very dangerous. So I don't even know who he is, but I pray for his soul right now because I believe he did it in ignorance. I believe there's not a lot of teaching. And God's going to deal with these pastors that don't teach on the Holy Spirit. They're not teaching on Holy Spirit. They're not teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're not.
Yes. Janet, there's another part, too, to the story. So the girl that was beside me that saw all of this go down, she belonged to a church, a local church, very active in it. She went back and told her Sunday school class what she had witnessed. Now, here we go. And they were skeptical because this power is for us who believe. You understand?
Yep.
When she shares what she eyewitness saw, she had doubters in the group. Well, maybe he was just passed out and he was still breathing. Well, maybe, well, don't you think maybe such and such and such and such? Well, why would she pray in the spirit? Well, that's for interpretation purposes only. That's improper. All these rules and regulations of why. Couldn't just believe simply that it was a miracle and somebody commanded somebody not to die or to put the breath back in them. They couldn't believe it for that because that's too simple. How can some little redneck white girl command somebody's body to come back, their spirit to come back in their body, and command them to start breathing? Why would anybody listen to a little measly hairstylist with a bossy attitude? You know what I mean? I mean, they couldn't wrap their minds around that. But the resurrection power is for us to believe. That's us to believe. Whether you're fat, whether you're skinny, ugly, pretty, short, tall, whatever color you are, it don't make a hill of beans to God. It's for us to believe. We take God at his word, period, and we operate it. You know, he's given it. He took the time to die on a rugged cross to forgive us for our sins. He went to hell and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, took back the authority that Satan had stolen from Adam, or Adam handed it over. He took the authority of the keys of death, hell, and the grave, came back, held a host captive, and gave gifts to men. And he comes back and he says, I'm going to put my spirit in you. I'm going to give you a counselor, a helper. The Holy Spirit is going to live inside of you because of what I just did. And just like a good father that gives good gifts to his children, he says, I'm going to give you what I have, resurrection power. And I'm going to give you the same authority that I have, because it's delegated authority, and I will give it to you because this is your inheritance. Glory be to God. We have a glorious, rich inheritance right here on earth. And if you're not operating in it, it's time to operate in it. It's time to simply believe and start operating in all that he died to give you. This is Good Friday. This is Good Friday. This is the time. Years ago, when Jesus was being crucified and beaten and killed, sacrificed for us. And he did it so that we can walk in all of the promises that he died to give us.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
He wants us to get every drop of goodness that he died to give us. And if we're not, we're selling ourselves short.
Amen.
Why would we want to operate at that?
Jesus said that he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Let me tell you something. Holy Spirit makes people nervous. People are so afraid of Holy Spirit. For one thing, because they know they can't control Holy Spirit. See, you don't tell Holy Spirit what to do. He tells us what to do. Glory be to God. And he never speaks of himself. He always points us to Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. And this power of the Holy Spirit is the power for us to walk upright. You know, when people mistreat us, we need Holy Spirit to love them and forgive them. You can't do this in your own strength. Glory be to God. Because the flesh will say, well, they don't treat me right, I'm going to mistreat them. Glory be to God. So the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live right and the power to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Holy Spirit gives us power over unclean spirits. Unclean spirit says, do this. Unclean spirit says, fornicate. Unclean spirit says, drink liquor, tell lies, and steal this. And guess what? Holy Spirit say, I've given you power over that. You don't have to steal. You don't have to tell lies. You don't have to fornicate. You don't have to commit adultery. I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. So Holy Spirit makes people very uncomfortable because they won't be able to do what they want to do without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And another thing, people can't understand Holy Spirit. Now, that simple miracle that you talked about, Elkie, they couldn't understand how this man came back, how his breath came back into him. So what they said was, oh, he just wasn't dead. Oh, that's the same thing they said about Jesus. They said, oh, he just wasn't dead. He just fell asleep. No, if somebody's got nails in your hands and nails in your feet and you're hanging up from a cross, he actually died because the Bible says he gave up the ghost and he said, it is finished. But they don't want to believe that. And so even the Pharisees, they told the soldiers who would have been under normal circumstances put to death for falling asleep on watch, they told them, just tell this story and we'll give you a whole lot of money. So they paid them the lie because Holy Spirit makes people uncomfortable. In other words, if I can't explain it, you know, there's no science to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is just who he is. He is supernatural. Glory be to God. He's not ordinary. He's extraordinary. And he gives us the power to do things that we could never do in our natural flesh. And so what happens is this makes people uncomfortable. Now, they talked about you praying in tongues, praying in the spirit, and you shouldn't do that without interpretation. Well, let me tell you something. I think if they were dying, I don't think they'd want somebody to try to interpret what you were praying. They want somebody to command their spirit to come back as well. So they just couldn't, they can't explain it, Elfie. They just can't explain, we don't understand this, we can't explain it. So what we're going to do is we're just going to reject it. We're going to deny it. Now, they can't deny that the man's breath came back in his body, but they're going to deny that God just used you, a little hairdresser, a little country hairdresser. They're just going to deny it. But I'm going to tell you something. You can deny Holy Spirit. You can reject Holy Spirit. You can mock Holy Spirit. You can speak against Holy Spirit, but you will never be able to change the fact that Holy Spirit is here. Jesus sent Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and you cannot find nowhere in the scripture where he has come and taken Holy Spirit out of the earth. When that happens, the church will be out of here.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Yeah, the church will be out of here.
God expects us to walk in his power. He expects us to. You know, and if we don't, it's because we're choosing not. And that is, I imagine that grieves the Holy Spirit. I imagine that
it
grieves
does.
God when he's like, died to give them everything. And they won't even operate in a third of it. God forbid that we don't operate in everything that sacrifice provided for us. I don't know about you, Janet, but if I got something good coming to me, I want all of it. Don't say, you know, I give you half of it because you don't look hungry enough. I'm gonna do whatever I need to do to get the full benefit, the full blessing. If you've got a blessing coming to me, don't let me block it. Tell me what I need to do so that I can operate in that blessing. And God's like, he's provided it all. And I'm going to partake. Amen.
Amen. And we got to seek after the Holy Spirit, you know, because it is the resurrection power of God. And it's not just for me and for you, Elkie. It's not just for a few people. It's for all who will believe. Glory be to God. And if we yield to God's resurrection power, other people will be blessed through us. It's just like that man. He was blessed through you. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is great. It is nothing to be afraid of. It is nothing to shun or to reject.
That's right.
It's like this. If you are of royalty and you your family owns a mansion and they have servants and, you know, you have everything that you need, but you decide, oh, I don't want this. I'm going to go live on the streets with my friends, and they don't have anything. They're bums. They're drunks, and they're just barely getting by. So you can go live at this privileged life of luxury, but you choose not to do it because you don't want to offend people. You just say, well, I just rather live at this lower level. You're living beneath your privilege. You're living beneath your privilege. As a matter of fact, you could do more for your friends. You could help them if you just go on and live like a king's kid. Just go ahead and live like you're supposed to live instead of trying to go down in the gutter with them. You can actually help bring them up out of the gutter. And so that's what it is. When you reject the Holy Spirit, you're living beneath your privileges. You are not operating at your full capacity, and you're choosing to live on a lower level.
Amen. I'd like to read this scripture. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus all generations forever and ever. So, this to me, when you break this down, it's like, to God who's able to do more than what we could ever even think or imagine or ask, according to the power that is at work within us. This power is always working in us, okay, within us. And then it says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then, because of this, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So what does that say? We are all called to walk in this power. He's saying, Paul's saying, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received because of
Amen.
All that's been provided for you. It's been provided for you. Live a life worthy of that calling. And we're all called
Amen.
To walk in supernatural power. Now, I have a question, Janet. So there have been times where I've gone to the hospital fully expecting God to move. I mean, I had a friend not too long ago. He slumped over in his car. I've known him since high school. They found him slumped over in his car at the gas station, and his window was up and his car doors were locked. And a paramedic just so happened to be, or someone was across the street and saw the commotion and bust his window out and pulled him out. They did CPR, got him to the hospital, got him back breathing.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much brain damage done because of the time where he wasn't breathing. So he was on a ventilator, and the doctors had said that he was pretty much slim and none.
Mm-hmm.
I went in that hospital. I anointed him with oil, and I prayed like I'd never prayed before. I commanded him to wake up. I commanded in the name of Jesus. This guy was a Christian. He had lived a rough life, but he truly had given his heart to the Lord. And with everything in me, I prayed in the Holy Spirit. I didn't care who was in the room. And I commanded him to be made whole in the name of Jesus. And I spoke to him. I was like, I know you can hear me. I'm expecting to see you raise up from this hospital bed. And as soon as you do, I'm going to get you on the television show that I have weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully expected it. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. They had to pull the plug on him about maybe 4 or 5 days after that because there was no brain activity. Say, well, your resurrection power didn't work, did it, Elkie? Wouldn't they say that?
They
would.
You
know what? You know what? That is not going to stop me from going to the very next person that needs a miracle because I serve a mighty, mighty God. I don't have all the answers. I don't know why he didn't come off of that bed at that time. Only God knows. But it is not going to deter my faith one bit. Just because I don't see it happen every time, I'm going to go at it with just as much tenacity as I did when that man got his breath back in his body. Because I serve
Amen.
A mighty God. I'm not going to let that bother me one bit. I can't explain it, but I'm going to go to the next person, and I'm going to command the resurrection power of God to move in their life. I'm going to keep doing it until I draw my last breath because
Amen.
God's word says that that's what we're going to operate in, and that's what I'm going
to
do.
And what we have to know is this, Elkie, God is sovereign.
That's right.
God is sovereign. He's in charge. And he knew.
That's right.
He knew. That man had an appointed time. And I don't know, you know, some people say, well, he'll resurrect in the resurrection. And I agree with that. I agree with that, especially if he was born again. If he was saved, we will see him. All right. But as far as why he didn't get healed, that is in the hands of God.
That's right.
That belongs to God.
I'm not.
You did everything that you were supposed to do,
and
you spoke the word.
And I'm keeping on.
That's right. That's right. And so when people try to say, well, there wasn't no resurrection power, it didn't work then, it did work. It did. It worked. It worked. It's just that we're looking at things from an earthly perspective, not from a heavenly perspective.
Yeah, ever.
That's right.
That's right. I'm not going to let it deter me, because that's exactly what the enemy, the devil himself, wants you to think. Oh, that didn't work.
That's right.
Well, that was just happenstance that man got his breath back in his body. Oh, you just hit the hit and miss thing. I was like, no. I'm not believing that lie. We're commanded to walk in power, and I'm a walk in power, and I'll let God be God, and he's on the throne, and I'm not, and I trust him. So if they didn't get it, that's between the Lord, but it ain't because Elkie didn't stand there and pray and intercede and command something. I'm going to do my part. Amen.
Amen. We look at Joshua chapter 10, and the Bible says this in the 12th verse. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Let me tell you something. Joshua had what I call crazy faith. He commanded the sun to stand still. And the Bible says the sun stood still and the moon stayed at its place. Now, God hearkened to the voice of a man. Hallelujah. So, you know, those skeptics, I'd like to hear them try to explain this away. There is no explanation. It's simply that God hearkened to the voice of a man. He had the faith. He commanded the sun to stand still and the moon to stay in its place, and it did. But again, it was for God's purpose and for God's glory.
Mm-mm-mm.
It was for the glory of the Lord. It was not for Joshua.
Mm-mm-mm.
So God will do what he will. He reigns on the just and the unjust. So he does what he wants to do. God is in control. And so we have to accept that. We want to see certain things happen, but we have to remember who is in control. I believe that God told you to go and pray for that man. I believe that God told you that man that was in your beauty salon to go over there and pray for him, and God hearkened. He hearkened to the voice of a woman. He hearkened.
Praise
you commanded
him.
His breath to come back, and it came back in him. You know what, Elkie? That speaks of the grace and mercy of God. If that man had died right there, he would have gone to hell. He would have gone to hell. Now, God he's a merciful God, and he would that none would perish. So God gave that man another chance. Now, the man that was in the hospital, he was saved. He was born again.
Yep. And look, Janet, I was just thinking about this. What good would it have done for me to call that man's breath back into his lungs and then never minister the gospel to him? I was burdened for him. I was so burdened for him because I thought he almost lost his life right here. And now I've got part two. I've got to share the gospel with him. God,
yes, ma'am.
I was burdened. I said, Lord, how do you want me to do this? And I felt like I was to write a note. So I wrote a two-page note about the salvation and how God was so gracious and what I had experienced. And, you know, in the letter I said, God had me pray in an unknown language, and you came back. And I said, and so I presented the gospel, and I hand-delivered it to his place of work. Because I said, what good is it if God moves through you and something like that happens and you don't finish the deal? That was a setup by the Holy Ghost. And so am I going to just drop it and everybody say, oh, Elkie's walking in something now. She prayed for that man and blah, blah, blah. If I didn't go and present the gospel to a man that was going to die.
That's right. Hill,
it was a
amen. That's
thing.
Right.
So it's
that's
just
right.
Just God didn't give us this power to operate. He gave us this power because he said the kingdom of God is near. Raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. He wasn't saying that just so that you can make a name for yourself. He was saying, so all this power of God for the forgiving of your sins, this is what you get. You get salvation and all of these other things. These things were signs that in the name of Jesus, this is what happens. You know, it's so that we can preach the gospel, so we can win souls for Christ. It's not about,
you know, Elkie,
ourselves.
Amen. And as I said earlier, the power be of God and not of us. You know, only what we do for Christ will last. And so you have people that reject the power, the resurrection power. They reject the Holy Spirit, and they want nothing to do with him. It makes them uncomfortable. Then you got other people, they don't want to talk about the blood. They say they're believers, but they don't even want to talk about the blood. It makes them uncomfortable. They said that's too gory, and we just don't want to talk about that, all of that. And so, you know, it's different strokes for different folks, but I'm going to tell you something. I believe this whole Bible. I read it from cover to cover every year, and I believe the whole Bible. And you got those that say we no longer need the Old Testament, but I'm going to tell those people tonight that you can't even understand the New Testament unless you read the Old Testament. And so, you know, it's just people have different preferences and all of this, but the bottom line is this. You're not going to live again without this resurrection power. Everybody want to go to heaven, but everybody want to go their own way. But you're not going to make it. You know, you're living this life, but there's another life after this. And you're right, Elkie. You know, we see so many of these pastors preach, 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 preach. And after they get through preaching, they have armor bearers come and escort them out of the church, out of the sanctuary. They don't come down and minister to the people. You have to minister to people because you don't want these people to go back the same way they came. You had to minister to that man. You had to minister the plan of salvation to that man. Now, whether he received it or rejected it, because God sent the prophet Ezekiel to some people, and he told them up front, they're not going to receive you. He said, they're not going to listen to you. He said, they stiff-necked and rebellious. He said, but I'm sending you to them anyway. He said, because if you go to them and speak my word, he said, if they change, then good. He said, if they do, then their blood won't be on your hands. He said, but if you don't go and you don't tell them what I'm saying, he said, then their blood will be on your hands. So, Elkie, that man's blood is not on your hands.
That's
your
right.
Hands
and I take
clean.
That serious. I take
your
that
hands
serious.
Are
and,
clean.
And, you know, it was like, and like what I was getting at to the point was, all this is to bring people to Christ. Signs, wonders, and miracles point to Christ, not the person. Because you remember when the disciples came back and they said, oh, man, even the demons have to leave when we call on your name. And he said, don't boast in that. You be glad that your names are written in the book of life. In other
That's
words,
right.
You remember for why you do anything. Don't get the big head that you have authority over demons and let that make you think you are somebody. You are somebody, but you are somebody because I died on the cross for you. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus was like, you need to be focused on salvation and being thankful for that, than that the demons are subject to you. You know, like that's a great perk. It's a great perk, but the main thing
Amen.
Is that you have salvation. And that's what we have to remember. It's just like you said, when people get the big head and God's moving through them and all of a sudden they got to stay in the green room. They can't, you know, they can't come out and worship with the people before they speak because they've got such a following and all that. You might be forgetting that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's the most important
Amen.
Thing. And you want
and
to make
you know,
sure that you help other people get their names in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Mm-hmm. Once you get filled with this resurrection power, everything else has to go. Sin
yep.
has to go. All
yep.
these bad habits have to go. You know, people are so accepting of their bad habits. They're just like, oh, that's just the way she is, or that's just the way he is. No, that's a demon. That's a demonic spirit controlling that person. But once
yep.
you get filled with this resurrection power, that demon has to go. Yeah, he's got
that's
to go.
Right.
And this
that's
is
right.
why we these demons will clear out. They will actually clear out all the satanic forces that have been militating against us must cease. Fear has to go. When we're walking in resurrection power, Elkie, we're walking in power. That is, the scripture uses the word dunamis. It is like dynamite. Now you
Praise
think of that.
God.
You just think of a
Praise
stick
God.
Of dynamite. It's going to, it once it detonates, it's going to tear up some stuff. It's going to blow it to smithereens. It's going to annihilate some stuff. Glory be to God. And this is what we want. We want that power operating in our lives. We want to see it in our homes. We want to see it in our marriages. We want to see this power operating in our ministries. Glory be to God in the highest. And people that are trying to do ministry out this resurrection power, they are not doing anything for the kingdom of God. They're just dry words. They're just, it's like the valley of dry bones. The prophet Ezekiel was asked, can these dry bones live? And he said, Lord, thou knowest. And he told them, speak to those dry bones. And he spoke to them, and they came back together, bone to bone, flesh came upon them, everything came back together, but there was still no life in them. And then he said, call for the wind, the Ruach HaKodesh. Call for the wind. And he called for the wind, and breath came into them, and they came alive. Glory be to God. And that was an illustration of Israel. God said he would do the same thing with Israel. They were like the valley of dry bones. Anybody that is not walking in resurrection power is like the valley of dry bones. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes in, he will lift up a standard against it. When the Spirit of the Lord comes in, there is liberty. There is life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. We need life. You know, I'm so tired of these dead churches. They don't have any power. People come in and go back home the same way. No manifestations of the Holy Spirit. No miracles. No healing. They're not even making altar calls anymore for salvation. It's just going to church. And you can check that off. You know, I put my little check mark there. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got to walk in the power. I've got to be where the power is. I've got to walk in the power. I thank God for filling me with this resurrection power. But it's for more than speaking in tongues. It is so that I can go and do what Jesus did. He said, greater works than what I do, you shall also do. So we saw the miracles that Jesus did. We saw how he fed the 5,000 with the two fishes and the five loaves. We saw how he healed the sick. We've seen him turn the water into wine. We've seen how he walked on water. We saw how he spoke to the wind and the waves and calmed the sea. But Jesus said, you shall do greater. Where is the greater? It's in the resurrection power. You need the resurrection power. Those that are listening under the sound of our voice, you need this resurrection power. If you're living a Christian life and you've been living this way for 30 years and you've not seen any change in your life, you need the resurrection power.
I'd like to add one thing, too. When we talk about what he said, when he said, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. I did a teaching on this not long ago. How are we going to do greater works than raising the dead? How are we going to do greater works than healing the sick? How are we going to do greater works than casting out devils? Well, when I ask you this, what is the greatest miracle that there is? What is that, Janet?
Salvation.
Absolutely. The greatest miracle is salvation. When someone who does not have Jesus, they are dead in their sin. They are transgressors. They are dead to the Spirit of God. They are slaves of sin, slaves to sin. And when they repent and open their heart to God and repent of their sins and say, hey, I want you as my Savior. Will you be my Savior? Will you come into my life and save me from my sins? I choose to believe that everything you said, that you are the Son of God and that you died on a cross to save me from my sins. And because you did that for me, forgive me, and I'm going to live my life for you. That is the greatest miracle, is salvation. And he's saying, greater works will you do because I go to the Father, because he has given us the precious Holy Spirit inside of us, that and this desire inside of all of us to win people to the Lord. That's
amen.
Greater works shall we do. All of us have the Holy Spirit, and we should be evangelizing like never before. Greater works. Everybody who bears the name of Jesus, who has Jesus Christ in their heart, should be doing these greater works. Salvation, going after souls every day. It's the
amen.
Great commission. It's the Great Commission. So praise the
Everybody's
Lord.
Everybody's looking for a platform.
Absolutely. So greater works are, yes, that you would walk in resurrection power. Yes, that you would do all those things he said. And yes, that you would turn people's hearts from serving the devil to serving the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's good. And, you know, we get to heaven.
Everybody. Mm-hmm.
It says that we're going to be, you know, we Christians are going to be at the Bema seat of judgment. And it's going to be, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did
Amen.
You do with what I gave you? And I want to say, Lord, I cast out demons. Lord, I healed the sick in your name. Lord, resurrection power moves through me, God, because of you, Lord. I led people to Christ. Lord, I did everything that you died to give me, Lord. I tried. And he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Praise
Amen.
God. I want to hear. Well, I don't want to feel like I missed a thing, Janet, and I know you don't either.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I know Apostle Overton does not either. He is going to stand before the Lord, and God is going to say, you did a lot with what I gave you to work with. Praise God.
Well, you know,
that's all I want to hear.
a lot of people, I'm going to tell you something, this is why not a lot of churches operate in the deliverance ministry. They're not casting out no demons. They're not, and the people got demons, but they're not casting them out. The pastor's not casting out demons. The deacon's not casting out demons. The ministers are not casting out demons. So the people come to church full of demons and go back home with the same demons, because the devil ain't afraid. He's not afraid to go to church. He goes to church so he can see what's going on. And the people are not being delivered. And so because they're not operating in the power, you know what they'll say? Because they're not operating in resurrection power, they'll say, well, I'm not called to deliverance ministry. Yes, you are. Everybody is.
If you're a born again believer.
Jesus said in Mark, to them that believe. He said, to them that believe, ye shall cast out devils in my name. So the reason you got a lot of preachers and pastors and evangelists and ministers and prophets and apostles that are not casting out demons, because they don't believe. It's the sin, and I'm going to say it, I'm going to call it what it is. It is the sin of unbelief.
Yes. Yes. Unbelief will rob you of every promise that God died to give you. It'll rob you of your unbelief.
It's just like having a will, and somebody's left you $1 million, but you don't read the will. So you never get your inheritance because you just didn't want to read the will. I don't have time for that. I'm not called to that. You're called to read the will and then have the will executed. But nobody's going to read that will for you. You've got to read it yourself and see what God has called you to do. Every believer, if you are a believer, a true believer, is called to deliver. It's called to lay hands on the sick. The Bible says, let me turn to James, James chapter 5, glory be to God. And this is what the Bible says about it, because too many people are trying to slip out the back door on this one, and it's not going to work. It says, if any among you afflicted, let him pray. If any merry, let him sing songs. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. The Bible says anoint him with oil, call for the elders, anoint him with oil, pray over him in the name of the Lord, and his name is Jesus, and pray the prayer of faith. You have to have faith. Faith without works is dead. Glory be to God. Too many people are saying, well, I hope he gets better. I hope she gets better. Pray the prayer of faith. She's going to get better. She's going to be healed. Pray the prayer of faith. She's going to walk out of that hospital today. Glory be to God. She's going to be set free. Those demons are going to be cast out of him. All right? The Bible says, and the Lord shall raise him up. So all we have to do is the work, the faith part of it. And the Lord is going to do the work. He's going to do the healing. He's going to do the raising up. That's his job.
Yes.
But we won't pray the prayer. We say, you know why we don't pray? What if it don't work? What if it doesn't work? I'm gonna look bad. I'm gonna look like a fool. No. Do what the scripture says.
That's
call
right.
for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, and let them pray the prayer of faith.
Amen.
Not the prayer of, I hope you'll get better. Not that prayer. That's weak. That's weak. Pray the prayer of faith over these individuals. But you know what? We don't cast out devils because we're too afraid. Well, what if it don't work? What if I tell the demon to come out in the name of Jesus and he don't come out? You already defeated because you went in. You went in with unbelief.
And it says here in the last part of that scripture you just read in verse 16, James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I think the King James
Amen.
Version says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Period.
Amen.
Period. That don't need to be questioned. It says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. It accomplishes much. And that's
Amen.
Righteous, the fervency. They're going after God with everything they know. The fervent, effectual, meaning it's going to come into effect. It's going to have an effect. The fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous, the person in right standing with God because of the blood
come
of
on.
Jesus, accomplishes, is powerful and effective and accomplishes much, period. That's just, we need to take God at his word. When we pray,
Amen.
We know that it's accomplishing much. We're not praying, like Paul said, like a blind boxer beating the air. We know our target. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, period. We are
and either we believe God or we don't. It's as simple
There's
as
no
that.
In-between.
You either
There's
believe
no
God or you don't.
And the Bible, it says in James, he that asks and don't believe or doubts should not receive a thing from God because he doubts. He's double-minded.
That's
you,
right.
You know, you can't say, God, I command you to heal my body in the name of Jesus. I command sickness to leave my body in Jesus' name. No, I command you.
Mm-hmm.
I command healing to take place in my body. I command sickness to leave. And then you turn around and say, Lord, will you please heal me? If it be your will. If it be your will. You know, you're double-minded. It is God's will.
Healing is God's will. Every time somebody asks the Lord, Lord, if thou wilt, would you make me whole? He said, I will. I will. That was, it's his yes. will that we would be healed.
I will.
It's his will.
If it hadn't been his will, he wouldn't have gone around and healed everybody while he walked the earth. He healed
That's
everybody
exactly
he came
right.
in contact with. You know, he healed everybody. He was showing people it's his will. He wants us well. He wants us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. That's his
Amen.
Will for us. You can't do anything for God if you're sick and laid up. How are you going to do anything for the Lord? He doesn't want you bound up. He wants you well. He
Jesus.
Wants you functioning, you know. And
Amen.
People say, well, it must be God must have had to teach me something. No, I hope you learned something that is not his will that you're laying there. Get up.
Amen.
Expect the prayer of the righteous to avail us much and believe. That's our job is to believe.
And
That's
we have
job.
To go with, yeah, we have to go to God with expectation. I asked a man one time, Elkie, was he saved? And you know what he said? I hope so. I said, no. No, you don't have to hope so. You can know so.
Yes,
and
that's when that's a clear sign for me that I'm going to get in his business right there. I got to have that
okay.
talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I
you know,
sure enough,
and this is
oh,
what
that's a
say.
Conversation starter right there.
This is what they say when you ask them, about healing. Well, I hope so. Or you say, well, did you get into college? Well, I hope so. You already went in defeated. You're already halfway defeated. As a matter of fact,
nobody
you are
got
defeated.
Time for that.
No,
That's
nobody
right.
got time for that. Well, I
right.
hope I'll get the loan. I hope I'll get the promotion. I hope. No. Where's your confidence? Where is your confidence? Your confidence must be in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You're preaching good. Yes.
And so we've got to change our confession. Elkie, we've got 5 minutes left. Would you start
okay.
and lead us in prayer, and then I'm going to come behind you and close it out.
I will.
I'm going to read this scripture very quickly. Okay. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Pray, Elkie.
Father God, I just lift up every person that's listening tonight. God, I just ask you to touch them right where they are. Lord, I pray that they have a burning desire to walk in all the fullness of God. Lord, that if there be any lack in their life in any of the areas that we discussed, we're not here to make them feel bad about what they haven't done. We want them to know that you love them and we love them, and we are just encouraging people to get all they can get from God, because God desires for them to have it. So, Lord, right now, I thank you for touching each and every person. Lord, fill every void in their life with your presence. Lord, I pray that he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Lord God, I thank you for creating in them a pure heart and renewing a steadfast spirit within them, Lord. Father God, I thank you that every gift of the Spirit that you desire for them to walk in will manifest in their life as they hunger and thirst after you, God. I thank you that there'll be no voids in their life. Lord, I thank you right now that at the sound of our voices, that this message has reached their heart, and it caused them to want more of you, God, an insatiable appetite to go hard after the things of God that you freely have given to us, Lord. I thank you, God, for each and every person, Lord. I bind and rebuke the attacks of the enemy on their minds that would hold them in captivity and keep them from the promises of God, Lord. We take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus and command every hindering spirit that would hinder them from moving in these gifts and moving in the resurrection power to be broken in the name of Jesus. We break off every hindering spirit that would hold them up, Lord. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We bind it by the power of the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we loose that person from the grip of false information. We loose them from the grip of hindering spirits, Lord, that would hinder them from their growth in you, God. In your mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We give you glory, honor, and praise for Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that 3 days after he was crucified, dead and buried, on the third day he rose again. Father God, we thank you so much that you rose again, and what you gave to us, resurrection power. To you be all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, we just pray for those that are listening to the sound of our voice. We pray that they've been blessed, that they've been encouraged, and that they've been strengthened, oh God. And we pray that a fire has been ignited in them tonight to seek after you, oh God, for this resurrection power, that they would go after you and that they would desire to be filled with this resurrection power. Oh, God, we ask that even on Resurrection Sunday, God, that people will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and that it would just spread like wildfire in the churches. God, let the pastors preach the message of the resurrection, that Jesus got up with all power in heaven and in earth, and this same power is available to them, oh God, to them that believe. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We count it an honor.